哦，don't give me a hard time. 'Thank you so much for the subscription. Still setting up stuff because it's been a while and I'm doing this by myself now and not with other people. So just give me a second, like 5 minutes, okay? Just five. Yo, Malice with the full-blown tier subs real quick. Look at you. Okay. Stop, stop. You're spoiling me, okay? It's been a while, I understand. Stop! I'm not ready. For all five of the subscriptions, you're gonna make me cry. I'm an emotional wreck. Struggling. Everyone, thank Malice so much. Nikki, Cammy, oh, my favorite small panda. Oh, see, look, y'all need to stop, stop, stop. And Dominique, you guys, welcome. Hello. I am super happy that you guys are here. Great, fantastic. I am literally making sure this video is great. And then I'm gonna start the default for you guys because I'm basically at this point ready to start. So give me a second. Who is that creature that was just on that default? God, I don't know who she was. She was beautiful. Lord Jesus. Can we give a round of applause to the opening lady there? Because she started. And welcome, guys, from the comforts of my room, because I'm not flying currently. I am back home in New York, in my apartment, and I'm gonna do this now because I'm in a good enough mood that I can do this. Is the audio good? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. You guys are amazing, and thank you so much for coming. I'm done being a dramatic mess for like 2 seconds. I am trying to make sure everybody got the link that they were supposed to get, so I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do and going from there. Hey guys, I missed you. Are we sounding good, Malice? Are you there? Can you actually hear me? I just want to make sure that you guys can actually hear me here. Nico, no. Lay your ass down. I know you haven't seen me in 3 days, and I know you've missed me, but this is not the time. This is not the time or the place or the efforts right now, my babies. Nico is losing his shit because he hasn't seen me, and I'm trying to make sure I got this to every place that I can share it. Because I am horrible at this point of time in my life. Because I needed to make sure that I did the thing that I'm doing. So, hi guys. Hi. Welcome. Hi. It's your friendly neighborhood witch. It's been, God, when was the last time I streamed? September? November. It was right before the holiday season. I appreciate you guys coming. You guys know that for me, coming and talking about my podcast is a huge, major thing. And I love that you guys have been sticking it out for 3 seasons. This has been now 3 seasons. 3 lovely, full-blown fucking seasons. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. It feels so good to be back. I am so happy to actually be back, to be honest with you. And because obviously Nico wants his moment of shine real quick. Hold on. Here's the fat baby. Is the big baby. He will be gone for 5 weeks. He will not be with me for 5 weeks. Okay, cool. Now get out my face. Awesome. And he misses you too. I'm just letting you know. He misses everybody. So, my loves, my babies, we're here. Welcome to Reku's Weekend Detox. I was supposed to do this yesterday, but anybody who tuned in to my live yesterday on IG, know that I had a breakdown because I couldn't mentally and emotionally do the episode. I just I couldn't, and I couldn't give y'all the quality that I'm infamous for, because you guys know I'm a perfectionist and I need to make sure things go the way they need to go, especially when it comes down to my podcast, because literally need to make sure that these people got their stuff because they're liking the video and everything, and I need to make sure that they got the things that they need, and I'm still making sure I share this to everybody because I fucking suck at everything else. I told you guys I am horrible at sharing my own stuff, but now I'm back to editing my own stuff. I am making sure the quality is good. I am making sure that people get links again. I'm back to literally doing everything and then nothing. And then that's the reason why I needed to make sure I at least had a mod in here in case of anything going wrong or going awry and everything else like that. Because ultimately, that's where we are. That's where we are today. So, again, welcome to my weekend detox. I'm sorry that it's a day late, but hey, I'd rather give it to you a day late than, give you something that was bad quality because you guys know me. I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. So, first and foremost, there is some details I need to go ahead and talk to you guys about. First and foremost, we have to get the trigger warning out of the way. First and foremost, I do want to go ahead and let you know this episode does contain talks of suicide, molestation, abuse, and we also will be talking about Kendrick Lamar's album because a lot of that stuff did stem back onto that. And we're going to talk a lot about recent events that kind of hit home for me and a lot of stuff that just kind of like made me remember why I do what I do and why I am such an advocate about mental health, especially in the Black community, especially in millennials in general. It doesn't, at this rate in my life, it's not just about millennials, it's not just about Black people, it's about everybody, because honestly, I feel like in order for us to make a change in ourselves, we need to start mentally. Again, your body is your temple, your brain is your throne, and if your throne is not cleansed, if your throne is not where it needs to be, you are not going to be okay. And honestly, I want to talk about the first major subject that originally this episode was supposed to be about. Again, trigger warning, if Malice can ever so do so every so often, just sit here and make sure he puts a trigger warning for the episode in the chat. That would be amazing. I will appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. I do want to go ahead and talk about it. First and foremost, earlier this year, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to pronounce her name incorrectly, and I feel so bad about this. Miss USA. She was a former Miss USA, and I think her name was Chelsea. Christ. 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 I'm horrible with names. You guys know those. She was a former USA pageant winner. She was African American, she was very young. She passed away in the early parts of February. I wanted to go live when I found out about it. I was in the middle of a trip and I wanted to go live. Like when I read the article, I was working. If you guys are not aware, I can't catch flights, not feelings, for my permanent job. And my partner at the time, I told him, I was like, hey, I really want to do this episode. Like I was really talking to him about wanting to do this episode about her because it would go fitting with the podcast and everything else like that, because it's something that I talk about a lot where we have to check on our strong friends. This woman was not only Miss USA, she smiled in every interview. She talked about mental health. She sat here and literally is the epitome of a strong friend, somebody who's constantly smiling, constantly bubbly, constantly. When I tell people that depression is not so black and white as like Hollywood makes it to be, depression is a serious, serious thing, like especially in the Black community. And the reason why I feel like we don't acknowledge it enough in the Black community is because it's so hidden. She committed suicide. She jumped from her building. Essentially, if I remember correctly, she If I'm just gonna double check on that. Yeah, she fell from her high rise. And at first when I read the article, I was like, well, maybe she possibly, got pushed. But then I thought about it, I was like, honestly, she lives in New York at a high rise in New York. You will die before you hit impact. If you actually research, most people before they impact on the ground and they fall from a large building like that, they die before they hit impact. Their heart stops before they hit impact. This was a beautiful, gorgeous, if you have not seen her photo, she is a beautiful young woman. And she was Miss USA in 2019. I remember reading that. And I want to double check my facts. Yes, she was. She committed suicide. She was an advocate. That was the thing that her whole platform was on, and she still, after she won, she was still talking about it. And the reason why it hit home for me, again, I tell people there's a difference between suicidal thoughts and suicidal ideologies. You guys know I don't know how to talk, but there's a difference. There's a difference between just having suicidal thoughts, meaning you think about, like, if I hit the back of this truck, you're not gonna actually do it, but you're thinking about it. Like, if I die, I die. Like, if I go play in traffic, whatever. But then there's people who have, I can literally just myself today and not think about, and like, they think about my life will be, the people's lives will be so much better. And I went from having the idol, like wanting to do it, to I just have the thoughts. And it took me a transitional period in my teen years because you guys know my backstory. I was in an abusive household. I was trying to find an escape. For me, it was escapism. It was the only way I can get out of here was by death. Like, that was literally my mindset. And it broke me when I went to my father, who is a black man, prior military, grew up in Chicago, so he was emotionally detached for the most part because of the military. Going to a black father and telling him that, or him finding out you wanted to commit suicide, for him to tell you if you want to commit suicide so much, you should be like a cat and go die. Him telling me that at 15, when I first moved in, like it was within like a few months of me moving in, I wasn't quite 16 yet, but I was about to be 16. Hearing that from a father, somebody who took me in after leaving one bad household to another household, like I said, me and my dad, I'm a daddy's girl now, but when I first met him and got back into being in the household with him, we were not close. Like, I say this in a lot of episodes, like I had a lot of problems as a teen, and it was to the point where hearing someone tell me that, I had to fight myself to not do it and not act upon it. And it was hard. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna sit here and say it was an easy transition hearing that from a parental figure, because I went from constantly protecting my mom and my brother to going into a household that I thought I was supposed to be safe at and turn around and be told that if I want to die so badly, I should be like a cat and go die. And I don't know what broke in me, but at that age, at 15, I mentally was just like, if my parents don't even care about me, I still have my siblings. I need to be here for them. I did not, and when I tell people this, I didn't start living for myself until I was older. I mean that. Like, I didn't start living for myself in there. I see the glitch. I didn't start living for myself until I was in my mid-20s. And it was hard still battling those thoughts. And even when I went into my depressed cycles, because I do still suffer bipolar depression with anxiety, I had to be my own savior. I had to be my only advocate because I felt like if nobody else cared about me, I needed to care about myself enough. And I kept telling myself, I have to live for my siblings. I have to live for my god babies. I have five beautiful god babies who I live for, and I live for myself too, don't get me wrong, but they motivate me to stay here. And I mean, it's hard to deal with people when you'd have to tell people at one point in time that you wanted to commit suicide. And that's the reason why I have my semicolon on my wrist, because that was it. But hearing her story as a person who talks about, check on your strong friends, we need to be an advocate for, mental health in the Black community and things of that nature, it got to the point where I realized why I still do what I do, why I came here, because people like that have battles that you don't know that they're going through. You don't know what demons they are going through. And a lot of people on social media are talking about, you're fighting your demons, I'm fucking mine, or you're fighting your demons and I'm living with mine. And honestly, sometimes living with your demons, it could be, beneficial. But then at the same time, we're in a world suffering. And the only reason, again, Black people don't hear too much about Black people committing suicide because it's masked as something else. It's masked in gang violence because they'll distract themselves there. They'll look in the thrills of, stealing or the cheating or, doing drugs, heavy drugs, or, doing stuff that's reckless. Because suicide doesn't necessarily mean physically killing yourself. You will do things that are reckless that will potentially put you in danger. And that's how it's masked in the Black community. And with her particular case, this girl had nothing really other than, her being an advocate and dealing with her own demons and her own battles. And you don't know what this girl was going through. Yes, she is a Miss USA. And the thing is, even then, like Robin Williams, like I'm using him because he is not a POC, but he was a comedian. Always constantly laughing, always constantly smiling. He had his daughter, he had a wife, he had success, he had fame. She had fame, she had notoriety because she was a, a woman of color who made US Miss USA. And right after or during the still the bulk of the pandemic, committed suicide. And that is scary. She's not that much older, well, that much off in age from me. And it's like at 31, I take pride in mental health. I still have my demons. I still overthink. And I didn't want to do my episode yesterday because I was at a point where I was like, if I die today, I wouldn't care. And that's part of the reason I didn't want to have the discussion or do the podcast yesterday, because I was so fucking depressed. And it hit me suddenly because I've been literally distracting myself. And then with me hearing something, it could be something so simple as somebody you invest in and care for and you don't want to lose, and you feel like that your whole world revolves starts to revolve around them because you don't open up to them. For them to turn around and say, I've never loved you, it devastates the fuck out of you. It literally will literally devastate you when you're battling your own battles. Or when somebody sits here and say that you don't really have to worry about my battles, and you're constantly worried about their battles. You're constantly worried if they're okay. You're constantly putting yourself to the point where you're more worried about them than you are yourself, for them to tell you and throw in your face some shit. And I literally got to the point yesterday where I was just like, you're assuming, and I'm trying to explain it to you, but you don't want to hear me. And I got so depressed hearing the things that came out of this person's mouth who I was madly fucking in love with, to the point where you guys heard my conversation with my ex-husband and in a prior episode, where when I'm invested in you, I'm invested. Like, you become like, your problems become my problems and your world becomes my world. Like, I am willing to go to bat for you. I'm willing to do everything. So I was battling my own demons, and it got to the point where I felt like I have nothing really to live for. And then I had to sit down and like really think about it. Like, if this is really what you feel and how you feel, I can't control you. I had to literally go back and watch the episode with me and my ex-husband to kind of get myself out of this mind state. But I was at that point where I was starting to feel myself teeter from suicidal thoughts, where I'm like, well, if I die today, if
I wouldn't care. Like, if I was to sit here and drink a lot of alcohol and kill over, I wouldn't care. And it got to a point where it was like real dangerous. And I'm like, no, I need to not be there, because this is, that will be regression. Like, I've been progress is the concept for me. Like, I want to be better. And then I had to remember that, you know, I'm an advocate for mental health. And mentally, I have to remember my groundings and what I'm here for and why I'm doing it. And sometimes, I'm not saying that it's easy to not battle your own demons and to deal with it, because that beautiful woman was battling her own demons, and she was battling things that people probably didn't even know about. And I sat here and I was just like, I'm tired. And if you've ever heard a person with depression say that they're tired, those are usually signs. And then on top of everything else this week, I've been seeing a lot of people post videos of people's last moments before they committed suicide. And you would never know that these people were depressed, that they were sad, or they were crying in a room, or they were battling demons, because these people were having the time of their life. They were dealing with it. And you would think that these people are their strong friends, because they're smiling. Their smiles would light up a room, and they would just seem like they were just giving all their energy. And the thing is, the way that they train a lot of people is like, these are people who are going to, they don't care about being reckless. They're going to spend a lot of money. They're going to, you got to look for these telltale signs. But then Hollywood makes it seem like, oh, this person's going to be depressed, so that means they're going to be very sad. They're going to be this, they're going to be that. Depression has so many different levels to it. I have literally made the joke or the reference that it's not even a joke. I'm not even going to say it's a joke. I've made the point of saying that I'm part of the sad bitch club, because as a person who is going to be living with bipolar depression for the rest of my life, clinically, I have bipolar depression. There's no situational, there's no seasonal, it's regular fucking bipolar depression. I'm going to be dealing with this for the rest of my life. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. As a person who's going to be dealing with this for the rest of my life, I can see the telltale signs of a person who is going through a cycle. And with depression, there's cycles. You'll have a moment where you're up. You'll have a moment where the endorphins are kicking. You're perfectly fine. You could feel like you could take on the world. And then there's moments where you're really low and you're tired. And when I mean tired, you're not physically tired. You're mentally and emotionally tired. And when you get to the point where you want to throw yourself off of a high rise, you are tired. And you feel like there's no other way of escaping. When I tell you, as a person who was at one point on the path of following through, and again, this was earlier, I'm giving y'all my number. I am a six-time, one of them was not intentional, but I am a six-time attempt survivor. And it was because I was trying to escape, for most part. Sometimes it was, people would have been better off without me because I felt like they didn't want me around. And these are the people I was around. And I felt like, if you don't even want me around, then why am I existing? I didn't ask to be here. Then as I've gotten older and I went through other stages, it was full blown, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know what to do. This is too much. This is overwhelming. This is escapism. I had nothing else going. It was just a lot. When you get so overwhelmed and overburdened, you don't know how else to really take it. So you just kind of figure out, okay, well, maybe it would be better off if I go this way. And a lot of mine were more on the spectrum of, the people that I care about don't want me around. And if the people I don't want me around, when I don't even want to be here myself, then why am I here? They would be better off without me. They don't need me. I have nothing to live for. Like, literally, that was the reason why. And I had to find reasons to stay here. Yeah, I had to find reasons why to stay here. When I had my miscarriage, that was one of those, I can't even carry a child. Like, it was a lot of postpartum and a lot of other shit that happened with that. But when you get to a state of tired, some people know how to put on a good mask. They know how to And I say this as a black woman, we know how to put on a good fucking mask. We know how to put on a face. And I say this a lot, and I know not many people can attest to this, especially some white women, they can't attest to this. But as a black woman, our men hate us. Other women hate us. White men hate us. White women hate us. We are so hated. POC women literally are the most hated women of the fucking world. And I don't say this as a black woman. I'm saying this as a true testament, because even black women hate black women. Like, we don't have that many black women. We have it a lot more now, but at one point in time, we still in social media see other black women tearing other black women down. We have black men tearing black women down. We have every other race tearing black women down. So we have to put up a face, a mask of being these strong women and being this, and then get mad talking about, why are these women so masculine? Why are they this? And then we don't want to keep being masculine. We want to be feminine. We want to ask for help. We want to do all this, but then we can't do that because society and history has made us to the point where now we have to wear this mask of being a fucking superwoman. And some of us are tired. Some of us are done. In the last 24 hours, had an epiphany where I realized that the reason I can't keep a partner in my life is because I don't know how to be open and honest with them and share with them, because my masculine energy, because I have not had to be anything but masculine since I was a fucking kid, because I have never had a moment where I can use my divine feminine energy to actually be soft and be a sunflower and just be me. And this woman who had divine feminine energy was still talking about mental health, but she was battling her demons and she couldn't cry for help because, again, as a black woman, we are meant to be, or looked at as, to be strong women and have to be okay with just whatever fucking thing throws at us. When we want to sit here and not only be mothers, best friends, therapists, the fucking backbone to whoever we decide to be partners with, and then still also be nurturers and educators, and then also in some cases be providers, both mommy and daddy. And then, God forbid, as a black woman, and I've told these guys at this point, when if I started dating again, I will only be able to date men who already have kids, for me to finally actually get into that predicament of dating someone with a child, for them to sit here and be like, well, you don't really care about my kids. I'm like, well, I'm not like the other people you dated. I knew what I signed up for when I got here, but didn't throw in my face that I don't care about the same things that they care about. And that shit burned me. And I'm like, you don't know half the shit I go through mentally, half the shit I think about mentally, half the things that I even have to put up as a facade as a black woman. And the thing is, the reason why I can't open up or be honest or want to share my emotions is because the fact of being, you didn't create a safe space for me to be that way. You didn't create a safe space for me to be a divine feminine goddess and be, feel safe. And that masculine energy in most black women, and most women, honestly, don't leave until they feel safe enough to do so, or secure enough, especially if you have a background in abuse. Why are we going to sit here and open up and be vulnerable if you didn't create a safe space for us? We got to continuously wear that mask of being strong and being okay and not being tired, because even then, we don't want you to sit here, and even now, we don't want you to sit here and feel like we're weak, because even then, there's men out there saying that they want strong women, but then when they get strong women, oh, well, you too masculine, or oh, you're too emotional, or you don't care. But then the thing is, if we care too much, then now it's too much of a problem. And that's the reason why I say women have it the hardest, because the fact of it being, what else we got going for us? It's hard. It is very hard out here to be a woman, and to especially be a woman that is in the POC community. I recently have been broken up with, and I'm not gonna fade it. I'm not gonna lie. I hate that I have to put it on social media, but it's the God honest truth. It is what it is. I love this person. I opened up to this person. It's the first person I opened up to in like 4 years. And when I tell you opened up, I mean full blown invested. And I still had a lot of masculine energy at the beginning, and I didn't want to commit to it because I saw a lot of things where the person wasn't healed from the past relationship, and I didn't want to open up until I knew. But then the fact of being, I knew, like my heart knew, and I knew for a fact, like I was telling my family about this person, all this other stuff. And anybody who knows me knows I don't bring people to my family. Like, I don't bring people that are temporary to my family. I bring you to my family because I see something and I want to see if it goes through. And ultimately, we go through our own battles in life. And I'm just still dealing with the heartbreak. I'm still dealing with a lot of the stuff because a lot more stuff has been coming through. And honestly, hurt people hurt people. I've come to the conclusion in my life that either this person said the things that they said because they're hurt themselves and they don't want to admit that they're hurt, or they're just legitimately a fucking piece of shit. And I rather think the latter because I still want to think the most optimist positivity about this person. But, and it's, I could be a hurt person and be like, well, no, this person is a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. Again, hurt people, and I am hurt, yes, but I'm not going to hurt that person. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, I'm still smiling. I'm still at work. I'm still functioning. I'm still distracting myself from things. I'm still handling things I need to handle. I'm still doing the things I need to do. But mental health is to the point where I've had to literally, I cried a lot yesterday. And I realized that for the first time in my life, what was my major problem? My major problem is I do not let up on my masculinity side enough to become feminine and be submissive and soft in a sunflower and allow myself to feel hurt and allow myself to feel pain and allow myself to, my pride would not let me be anywhere but sad. Like, my pride was like, you could be anywhere else, but sad is not what you're gonna do. And ultimately, I sat down and I cried about it full blown, because I didn't cry about it when it first happened, and it was a while since this happened, but I finally sat down and I cried about it, and I vented to a lot of people that was important to me, like a lot of males in my life who, you know, are in my life, and they were just trying to like, yo, no, it doesn't sound like this is legit, like how a person could do a whole 360. And ultimately, as a person, I can see bullshit, I can tell bullshit, I'm gonna let you say your bullshit, but I know it is what it is. As a person who is a psych major, I'm gonna just let you say, I'm gonna let you be an idiot at that point. I won't call you out on your bullshit and I'm gonna leave it alone, but I'm allowing myself to be hurt. Some people don't allow themselves to be hurt and they hold on to that burden. And honestly, that girl could have been going through a lot of stuff. She could have been holding on to a lot of things. And I sat down and I had to reread her article because I wanted to do the podcast yesterday, but I reread the article and I sat down and I actually went down and I drank. And I talked to one of my old friends that I haven't talked to in a while since I've been in this relationship, and had a conversation with him, and he made me feel better. And then my ex-husband sat down and talked to me, and then I went up to my room after drinking and finally getting some food in my system. And then I went to sleep for a little while to kind of recharge and went down, and I went to a bowling alley, ended up meeting like 6 guys. And I mean, for the first time, because normally I don't tell people what my problem is, especially no random strangers, I cried to these guys and like full blown just was like, I just wanted a distraction. And anybody who knows me, bowling is like my weakness. Like, bowling is my comfort zone. Like, I will go bowling any day of the week and be okay, because bowling for me is a de-stressor. I can literally bowl, but I was not doing so well. The first 2 games I played with these guys, because they were doing half frames, which is only like 5 frames, and they were betting, and I was like, well, guys, I can't bet. They were like, hey, you can just come and join us, because I was just kind of walking up and down the lanes with shoes and stuff like that, and they didn't assign me a lane yet. I was like, I was just walking up and down, and they were like, hey, you can just come and, you know, bowl with us. So ultimately, I was really shitty. I was off my game. I was really sad. And the guys was like, yeah, we're going to do the next round. This is going to be, you know, for the win. And they were putting in $200 per person. And I'm like, well, I only have 20 bucks. I can do it. The first two games, I was shit. Turn around. hustled the fuck out of them. I turned around. They were so like, oh my God, the guy was a piece of shit. You're so sweet, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're beautiful. Don't do that. And I know my vibrations were like low, and ultimately they were just still very, very sweet guys. And I turned around and I wasn't masculine. For once, I took off my mask and became a softer person. And I looked for comfort in random strangers, and they were super sweet. Like, they weren't trying to like hit on me. They weren't trying to like, you know, oh, you can go to my bed, blah, blah, blah. But it showed me how much power my divine feminine side had compared to my masculine, and allowed myself to actually feel my feelings and feel sad and turn around and walked away with money. Like, I used that superpower that I have not been able to tap into since I was like 18 years old, and managed to get money. And it was so funny because when I posted it on WhatsApp, I had somebody respond like, oh, did you sleep with somebody for that money? I was like, no, I did not sleep with anybody. I did not have to sleep with anybody to get any money. And then I turned around and made some TikToks. Like, I actually felt a lot better talking to complete strangers and just being in the moment and allowing myself to feel my feelings and letting them go, because they reminded me, like, you can cry about it, but then you just need to let it go, which is a problem with a lot of people with depression. With depression, you're constantly worried about the past. You're constantly worried about things that you can't control. While anxiety, you're constantly worried about your future and things that you can't control. And depression is hard. It is very hard to live with. It is a very hard thing to live with, especially if you have depression and you're an overthinker. I'm an overthinker. Because I'm overthink a lot, I'm constantly battling my own demons. And because I'm constantly battling my own demons, I don't have the opportunity to enjoy the moment. And the present is a present. I started in my relationship with my partner, my ex-partner. I started because I was so used to mentally drawing a picture of the moments. I wasn't able to enjoy the moments. My brain was so wired to not enjoy the moments. I had to literally paint the picture of every little detail, what things were where, and all this other stuff, and mentally prepare myself in case bad things happen. That when I started living in the moment, it started giving me headaches. And people don't realize that when you're trying to rewire your brain from something that you've been doing for over 30 years, it is hard. And this girl could have been going through so many different things where she was probably conditioned to smile, because also people don't realize how bad pageants are. Pageants is a lot of conditioning that you have to go through, and it's very stressful on those girls and those women to obtain like a certain level of poise and beautiful and intelligence and saying the right words and not stumbling and constantly smiling and constantly this. She is literally conditioned to wear a mask. And it's hard. It's hard. And that's what I could honestly say. Black women in general. But we are the most powerful and the most fragile of creatures. And the reason why I have in the last 24, 48 hours have gotten so much appreciation now for the city girl and the hot girl culture now, these are women who literally, like, at the end of the day, yes, I am still going to have emotions, but at the same time, I'm going to still continue wearing my mask and living my best and fullest life, because nobody fucking gives a fuck about us. So why the fuck should I give a fuck about anybody else? And I've gotten to a better appreciation of that. So some of you do know, I don't really particularly care for city girl culture or hot girl culture, but I got an appreciation for it in like the last 24 to 48 hours because of everything that's recently gone on with me. So let's talk about Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar actually just dropped out an album. And Mr. Kendrick Lamar, when I tell you,
if it wasn't for the fact that this album has literally been on repeat for me at this point in time in my life, I am 100% sure I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. If you haven't heard Kendrick Lamar's new album, it's on Spotify and on iTunes, and it's anywhere else that you can. But Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, when I tell you, every fucking song hits home. It is a different level of home for me. In his album, he talks about toxic culture, when it comes down to relationships in the black community and how toxic they are, and how you will fight with somebody, be in a bad relationship with somebody, and then turn around and fuck them, and y'all still in this cycle and constantly, like, and that song is We Cry Together. And literally, it's him and Taylor Page fighting. And the best comparison, if you haven't heard the song, is literally Baby Boy. Tyrese and Ogre, dang it, I can't remember her name. Their relationship, how toxic their relationship is, and how they just wouldn't leave each other. But We Cry Together is so fucking common. And the thing is, it's so bad because I had to actually send it to my ex. And I sent that song to my ex because his last relationship, where I met him, he was fighting this person back to back to back. And he even mentioned to me when he told me the things that he said, that he has stayed with toxic people because the sex was so good. And I'm like, literally, We Cry Together is your fucking theme song, because apparently you rather stay with somebody for some good ass sex, but you would deal with the arguments and the fighting, which honestly, that is not a part of healing. A part of healing, I tell people I'm healing, not healed, but I'm not going to put myself or subject myself to that type of relationship. And honestly, that is actually a contributing factor to bad mental health in the black community, because we are more infamous to stay in toxic relationships like that than any other race. And it's like another song that I really like was Die Hard. Die Hard was like, you know, hey, look, I hope it's not too late for me to you know, come to you and be better with you and everything else like that. He also talked about family members who were transgendered and making sure that, you know, he was aware that we can't keep saying certain words, and I'm proud to have these people who are transgendered in my life. And he, even as a person, he talks about, I'm not your savior, but I'm telling you, like, you need to listen to these words, because you idolize people. People, again, I've talked about people, you know, celebrating false gods a lot, but sometimes you will get gospel from a lot of people. And he sat here and said that God is speaking through me, because honestly, that's the only way some people only listen. You will listen to somebody of power, meaning a celebrity or anybody else. You would listen to them before you listen to a person off the street or a best friend or even your family members in some cases. So when he talks about that, I was just like, bruh, like, he's talking about going to therapy. He's talking about people in the industry who has been molested. He's talking about his mom being abused. He is talking about him breaking generational curses by going to get therapy. And we talk about black men needing to get therapy all the fucking time, and it still hasn't happened, because black men are still conditioned to believe that we should not go seek therapy, that we don't need to go do it. And we are the culture that actually needs to go do it. But we're breaking those stigmas, we're breaking those generational curses by saying that I don't want to keep being in the same cycle. He even admit that he has cheated on his fiance, somebody he has been with since high school, on numerous occasions. They have two beautiful kids together. That is on the album cover. And he admit that he's done this woman wrong. And then he actually had to sit down and was like, you know what? I have to be better for her. I have to be better for our kids. I have to be better. I have to break these generational curses, or I'm gonna pass down these same generational curses to my kids. And he wanted to end that cycle. And he even said that there was a clip at the beginning of one of the songs where it says that the girl was like, you need to go seek therapy. He's like, black man don't seek therapy. I don't need no fucking therapy. Y'all do. Y'all need it. 100%. I said that to my ex, and I think that's where our relationship started down spiraling, because I'm going to therapy. I go to therapy every 2 weeks.
And I told him, I was like, you need to go to therapy because you need to heal with some of your trauma, because I saw that he was still having some unresolved trauma. And he literally built up a wall against me because I suggested it. And it's like, my firm belief is, when you're my partner, if I'm growing, I want you to grow with me. If you have goals, I want you to achieve your goals, and I'm going to be there for you. But also at the same time, I'm never going to tell you anything that's going to be wrong, because that's just how I am. But if I'm healing, you should be healing too. Ultimately, though, I can't speak on him. I could speak on me. I sat here and had an emergency therapy session with my therapist yesterday, and I thought the therapy session was going to help me, and it really didn't. It took me. Well, it did. I'm not gonna lie like that. It definitely did. I told her about how I've been having that album on repeat, and I told her about the situation that was going on, and how I was landing in the city that I was landing in and crying, and I couldn't stop crying, and I didn't know why I was crying. Like, I couldn't figure it out. She's like, you just need to feel your feelings. So after sitting down and actually feeling my feelings and stuff, I have to give her props and her respects, because sometimes crying is the best medicine. And then sometimes it can help you come to some revelations in your life. And I cried about it. And then I sat down and I had to think about it. I was like, I was raised to always sit here and never cry longer than I need to for somebody who will not miss me. That's how I was raised. My parents literally have raised me to only cry enough to get over it and then let it go. I'm not gonna sit here and continue being depressed or cry about it more than I need to. I'm gonna let it go, feel my feelings, and then go. Because the only way for me to fully heal is I have to let it go. And I have to let go of those things, and I have to move forward and go. And yes, it hurts. It hurts like hell. It's going to hurt. But one thing that is different for me now than when the last time I cried over a relationship, which was my very first ex-boyfriend, Kyle, is I didn't cry for nearly the amount of time that I did. Like, I'm still in love with this person. It still hurts. But what good would it do me crying about it? What good would it be do holding on to that and harboring that and being angry and being upset and everything? I can just look at the good times and what I've learned from it and keep moving. And yes, it's going to hurt me. The transition is going to hurt me. But why put myself through the pain of crying over someone who doesn't give two shits about me?
Hi, my love. Thank you. Thank you so much for the follow. I appreciate you. So I felt like that's the reason why I was able to do the stuff I needed to do today. Yeah, I'm still sad. I'm still upset, but I cried about it. And I was like, you know what? What good is it going to be for me to be sitting here sad and depressed and crying about it? Nothing. It's not going to do me any good. I still have people that look forward to these podcasts, and I still have things I have to do. My life still has to keep moving on. Their life is still moving on. So why can't I do the same? Let me cry about it. They went through their process, and one song that I had on repeat off of the album, off the Kendrick Lamar album, is United in Grief. And he kept saying, I grieve different. And honestly, that's true. Everybody grieves different. Everybody goes through breakups different. Everybody's timeline of getting over heartbreak different. Just because I'm over it, or I'm not crying about it, and I'm not talking about it as much as I did yesterday, doesn't mean it doesn't hurt less. It just means that I have to let it ride. I cry about it, feel my feelings, get over it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I still got shit to do. I got goals I need to achieve. I have things I want to do. I live in New York. I literally fear when I have to 5 o'clock shows and have to be at the airport at 5 o'clock in the morning and have to walk to my car in sketchy neighborhoods and having people follow me. Like, I have goals to not be here another, another after this upcoming year is done. Like, I have things I still have to do. And what good would it be for me to sit here and cry? I'm wasting time. And if they don't care, then I'm gonna cry about it, let my feelings ride, and then turn that into something else. I've always been a person of turning my feelings, my passions, my desires, my lust, my sadness into poetry. So why can't I do the same thing with making money? Why can't I do the same thing with achieving my goals? So I'm taking the sadness and I'm using it towards this thing. And
instead of me grieving and crying in a corner like I would have done in the past, I'm using it to become a different person. And the thing is, I tell people, like, we all handle heartbreak differently, and we're going to go through the process and the heartbreak differently. Because somebody asked me when I got out the relationship, they're like, how long is an appropriate time to go fuck someone else? I was like, honestly, it depends on the person. It really does. For me, it could take months, for years. I mean, like, I went 4 years, you know, without talking to anyone else. And then it is what it is. Like, I personally, I had an opportunity last night to go and do other stuff, but that's not what I wanted to do. I have grown so much in the last year that my mindset is my body is only going to do me so good. Some people grieve by getting under someone else. Some people grieve by doing drugs. Some people grieve by drinking. Some people grieve by being stuck in their thoughts and being sad. And that's the reason why, like, I sat here and I listened to every fucking song so many times and listened to what he was saying. And that's not saying that he was, like, he was spitting. Like, you may follow me just because I talk about mental health, but listen to that man's album. And when I tell you, he is talking about a lot of shit that we do need to talk about more in the Black community and the POC community, hell, in any community, honestly, that we don't talk about. He talked about people getting molested. He talked about transgendered. He talked about, you know, people being abused. He talked about, you know, abusive relationships and finally wanting to grow and be a better person and breaking generational curses. And that's something I've been talking about for 3 fucking seasons of my podcast, is breaking generational curses and being better, a better version of yourself. And even if I'm healing, not healed, I realized in the last 48 hours, I am a better person now than I have ever been in the last 6 years. And the thing is, like, I talked to my ex-husband and he's like, look, don't do anything out of spite. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything out of spite because I'm not a spiteful person. I'm not a selfish person. I still want somebody to you know, be in their best, fullest light because I've never been that way. Anybody who knows me knows even when I get into those selfish moments, I'm still not spiteful and I'm not a bitch, but I am still one of those, like, I'm still doing things for myself, but I'm still being mindful of the other person. And because I care. I care way too much. Unfortunately, that is my fucking problem. I still need things done, so I'm going to do what I need to do. But even then, I want people to be aware that not everybody who sits here and is sad going to commit suicide, and not every person who's smiling, happy. We are all going through our own problems in life. We are going through our own situations in life. And the problem with prideful people, the problem with people who have gone through a lot of shit in their lives, is when you have been let down by people so many times, you don't know how to, as women, we don't know how to stop being masculine and handling our own shit and being able to ask for help and being sunflowers and being, you know, we don't know how to tap into that feminine energy. And I'm tired. I don't want to do it no more. I don't want to sit here and do everything myself anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Even in my marriage, my ex-husband will tell you, I had so much masculine energy that I still had to have a job. Like, he told me, you don't have to work. I still went to work because I felt like my dad raised me to not depend on no man. And then on top of everything else, being in the household that I was in prior, I felt like if I can't take care of me, like if something was to happen, I still have to take care of me. And I wouldn't allow myself to ask for help or be in that point. I'm tired of being that person. I'm tired of being strong. I'm not. And then when it comes to our men, they're so prideful, and if they've been hurt in numerous relationships or in disappointed in relationships, or, you know, coming from family members or even coming from, you know, past relationships, they don't want to go into a relationship and be okay asking for help, where they don't know the difference between somebody genuinely wanting to be there and helping them. And it's just like, it's hard. It's hard. I think I said something in a past episode that it's hard to get into a relationship with somebody after they've been in toxic relationships, or it's hard. It's the same thing when you get into a relationship with somebody who has never been in a good relationship. It is hard to do that. And it's like, some people are just so used and conditioned to the cycle that they will willingly push away a good thing because that's what they're used to. They rather go to what they're used to because it's something they know and they got conditioned, versus something they don't know. And that's something that a lot of people with depression have a problem with, is when we don't know the unknown, that anxiety plus depression combo can really put us in a damper. It can really fuck us up. I am not gonna lie, I'm not gonna hold you. It can really fuck us up. And even then, with those, like, we have to stop believing that depression is looked upon a certain way. Because those people who are smiling are battling their own demons and they're battling their own thoughts, versus people who are not. Oh, she's sad, she's depressed, she might want to kill herself. No, they train us in my industry to look at the people who are overspending, who don't really care, they're being reckless, and like, oh, I want to go jump out of a perfectly good plane, you know? Like, they've never been adventurous like that, but all of a sudden they want to do that. They look at those things. So, and even with psychology, we look for certain things. And it's like, I try not to analyze everybody that's in my life, but I do it a lot. And I try not to. And it's kind of hard to not do it. It's kind of hard to turn it off. It's kind of hard to go that way, especially when I'm dealing with myself. I analyze myself so fucking much, it's not even funny. And right now I can tell you, I was teetering yesterday between them just being thoughts and I will go play in traffic. Like, I literally was teetering yesterday. But like I said, I had to listen to a podcast with me and my ex-husband on one of the older episodes, and it kind of brought me back into that mind state that you can only control yourself. And you can't make somebody love you if they don't. You can't make somebody else's heart beat the way that it wants. And I can only speak my own truth. And I had to remember the serenity prayer in telling myself that, because that is what got me through a lot of my depressed moments and a lot of those moments where I was teetering. Not everybody has the same mechanisms. Not everybody has the same anchor. Not everybody has that. Because some of these people who have suicidal thoughts don't have anchors. And that's my anchor. My anchor is that and my God kids. My anchor was that, my God kids, and at one with my ex, it was his kids, but I digress. I have to accept what it is. It is what it is, because I love kids. You guys know that. That's the whole reason I went into psychology, because I want to deal with, you know, troubled teens. But take a moment and go listen to that album. If you have not listened to it, go listen to it. There's that. Check on your strong friends. Not everybody is okay, especially since, you know, Mercury's in Gatorade. And if you are a Pisces or a Taurus or a Gemini, baby, go check on yourself. Please, please do. And that's my moon, sun, and rising. And they are struggling because they want confirmation from their partners of, you know, this, that, and the third. So if you're not okay, just not be okay. Like, just, it is okay to not be okay. It's fine. And I was not allowing myself to not be okay. I had to sit down and literally tell people I was not okay. Yes, you gotta go listen to the album. Like, I will literally share the album. You know what? Hold on. Do I got Spotify up right now? I will share the freaking album with you on Spotify. Think I won't at this point in time. Like, I will literally do that. Because I feel like everybody needs to listen to this album. And when I tell you, I literally, if you would have heard me at this point in time in my life, I was listening to the album at work, and I probably shouldn't have been listening to the album at work. We don't talk about that at all. Please don't play. I'm just gonna share this link.
Share copy album link. There we go. We're gonna share that now. There we go. Listen to that album. Do that, okay? This is how we're gonna live our lives going forward. So, other than that, guys, I'm gonna end this segment with like an update, because you guys know I'm horrible at ending my podcast and horrible at ending all this other stuff. No, Nico. No. So, I'm happy to be back. One, I'm happy you guys came to tune in to this. I'm happy you guys subscribed. I'm happy for Malice sitting here and gifting the subs, as well as the people who have now followed me. Thank you guys so much. And dealing with my fucking 50-minute rant. I appreciate you guys for even being here for that. The biggest thing is, listen to the, look for certain cues, especially in the POC community. We are losing a lot of people. We're losing a lot of good people. Protect our black women, one. And if you guys are not aware, there is Roe versus Wade, where they're trying to basically ban abortions. And it's not just about abortions. It is also about the Privacy Act. Roe versus Wade is a major thing. I really don't talk about a lot about politics, but this is literally a war against women's bodies, which they've been trying to overturn for years. And it's not even just about overturning on women's bodies. It's about women's rights. It's about contraceptions. It's also about the right to choose and to go and do the things that they want to do with their body and their lives and everything else like that. I promise you, your best option at this point is, if you have an opportunity to vote against that bill, please vote against it. Write a letter to your local legislation, because that has been the building foundation for a lot of things in the U.S. and people fail to forget this. It's not just about women's rights. It's also about your right and privacy in the medical field, as well as privacy and everything else. That means that you're going to open up for them to tap your phones again. You're going to open up for them to tell you how to handle your vaccinations. They're going to basically tell you, if you do not vaccinate your kids, we'll take your kids away from you. Again, medical kidnapping, which we've talked about that before. This will literally put you in a predicament if Roe versus Wade gets overturned. It has literally been the building block foundation for a lot of the stuff that we have currently in legislation, and it's actually very scary, especially as a woman who is black and African American, who is also trying to become a therapist in this world, where I will literally already get looked at and shunned upon because of the things that are in life. So this is something that's very serious. If you do want to help out in any way, shape, or form, you guys know I really don't like talking about politics too much, but read into it. If you don't know the history about Roe versus Wade, please do. They are literally trying to ban abortions, even if it may possibly kill a woman. I have met women who have had pregnancies that were going to kill them, or the baby, or both. I have seen women who literally could not carry children to terms because their bodies were attacking the babies. And then you're also telling women to keep a child in their belly that might be possibly stillborn. This is literally telling people that women will not have rights over their bodies, which they've been trying to do for years. I'm not okay with this, and I want you guys to not be okay with this, because it is actually very depressing. It's basically, women do take certain birth control because of health reasons. I have endometriosis. You guys are aware of that. I've talked about it. And if you've ever seen it, I have literally been hospitalized because of how bad the pain has been. It is literally, a doctor can tell me, you do not have endometriosis, I'm not going to give you the medicine you need, and I can literally die from the pain. I have literally been hospitalized because of how bad the pain is. I've had a flare in the middle of a busy street in Jacksonville, Florida, on a bridge that could have killed me, and I could have died. But this bill can literally take away my rights for medication for this pain, because a doctor could look at me and be like, you're not feeling the pain that you're feeling. I've literally been hospitalized because I cannot take regular over-the-counter pain meds because of the pain. So
for those who personally know me, this is why this is a very serious thing for me, because birth control is for people who have medical problems, and you're telling people that they cannot do that. You're also trying to ban abortions, which abortions could be because of rape. So you're telling me that I have to keep a rape child, or I'm keeping this, that, and the other. Again, trigger warning, my babies. So think about that. We have a lot of other things going on. Again, like I was talking about earlier, that black women have a lot of things against them already. We have black women who hate other black women. We have black men who hate black women. We have, you know, white people in legislation that hate black women. Hell, they will hate women in general. It is what it is. You guys definitely take a moment and look into the legislation and what's going on in your local legislation to kind of help out, because we kind of need this bill to not pass. We need this to not be overturned, and to overturn a lot of the stuff that has been the building blocks for women in the world. Also, check on your friends. If your friends seems like they're overly happy or going through a lot of stuff, check on them. Just call them. Please. I tell people, check on your friends at least every so often. See how they're doing. Nikki, yesterday, she sent me so many fucking memes. Because she knows I have not cried over a breakup in, like, since Kyle. I didn't even cry over my ex-husband, like, when we broke up. Like, for me to cry and get to that point, I literally, yeah, my Twitter's not showing up. I don't know. Sorry. Hold on. Wait. Don't do that. For me, I have not cried over stuff like that in a long time. Like I haven't cried over any of those things in a long time. And for me to cry over somebody, it was a major thing. It was huge thing for me to be that sad and depressed yesterday. So for me, I'm 100%, like, I'm gonna tell you like this. I am a sad bitch, and I'm okay with being a sad bitch right now. I am perfectly fine being a sad bitch right now. Because that's where I'm at. It's not technical difficulties. I undid the Twitter link. I'm sorry, guys. It's actually, I think it's socials. It might be socials. Socials. Or social. I can't see because I'm failing with my life. Is that social? There we go. Haha, I bet. Cool. I remember. It was one of them. So, yeah. What was the other announcement I had? I had, like, a few announcements. I'm planning to build a Patreon for the podcast so you guys can help fund said Patreon, the podcast, so I can get better equipment, better lighting, and I can be able to do more functions and get more people to come to the actual podcast. Yes, that too. Thank you for keeping me modest. This is why I love my mods. But I'm going to be building a Patreon solely for the podcast, and focus more on that. And then, secondly, my book. I was supposed to have it February 22nd. That was the whole reason I did not come back at the beginning of March for the podcast, is because I've been too busy working on the book and I'm trying to get the book together. We done taken some doubles out, and I've added new poems, so now I'm waiting on the edits for those to come back, and then when that's done, I am done, and then I will drop it. So I'm not giving you guys a set date on it. It's going to hopefully be before the summer. Great. Fantastic. Lastly, my lovely accountant account will be deactivated in 2 months, 90 days, sorry, and I will be doing, I am going to probably do an Amazon wish list as well, so we will do that. I will be streaming more on video games again soon, but I will be getting rid of my accountant, because I actually had a revelation as well with this past experience. I was You do not. I am going to add that. I forgot to add that because you did say you were going to write a poem to be my starter as a dedication to me. And I totally fucking forgot about that. It's in my fucking notes and I fucking forgot. Forgive me, I have like a thousand things that goes on in my life, and I keep forgetting about certain things sometimes as little tidbits. And if you don't remind me, I have a attention span of a goldfish. But back to what I was saying, my account is going to be deactivated in 90 days. And the reason I'm going to be deactivating that account is because I came into a revelation with this past relationship that every time I make something with somebody I'm with, typically the relationship ends horribly. This is the second relationship I've ended or that has ended horribly, and this person has told me that I am quote unquote not sexually satisfying, and yet the first person who told me that was also the father of my child that I had a miscarriage with, and for some reason, every year, at least three times a year, this man has literally added new social media and tried to contact me and wanted to apologize to me because he was saying it out of the time of hurt. And then now the same per the person I was just with said something very similar where it was boring, and I'm like, you're the only other person other than one person who has ever said this, and the only reason it's ever been that way is because I don't feel comfortable enough to show you that side. And when I've showed 100% of that side to anybody, I've created stalkers. Like, I literally have people who have literally got mad at me because they wanted to come to New York, and then when I told them I can't show you around, use Google, they threw it back in my fucking face. Like, you learn not to give all that up front. You gotta leave element of surprise, or you'll have people literally wanting to bust the windows out of your car. I've had somebody literally tell me they wanted to slash my fucking tires. So I don't do certain things anymore. Of course, I love. Thank you. I appreciate you. I will let you know if I need anything. She is my favorite, second favorite wife. I have to always get her number two because I can't take Brittany cannot be taken down. She's number one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So ultimately, I'm taking it down for that reason, one, and then two, because I can't be taken serious and I can literally lose my job, which I love, if anybody finds or puts two and two together, oh, that's her and this is her, like, come to me at when I'm working, and then like, oh, I seen your stuff, and I'm like, oh god, great, cool. But ultimately, I'm taking that account down because I'm tired of that lifestyle. And and even if I do go into, finish up my psychiatry degree and become a psychiatrist, nobody's gonna want to take me serious. Like, I honestly, even with my modeling, nobody's ever gonna want to take me serious. That's why I use different names. Like, my real name will be for my work. I use my middle name for work, and I use my government name for, like, paperwork and all that other stuff. But then, like, here on social media, of course, you guys get my nickname, which you can't really put two and two together. So ultimately, I still try to keep them separated, but it's kind of getting hard when things are starting to blur, even with my Twitter. Like, my Twitter is starting to become like a massive mess, which it's mainly was created for my podcast, but now I got stuff for the accountant account on there. I got stuff, that I'm randomly just sharing. Like, it's not fluid anymore. And so I have to kind of make some changes in my life. Don't get me wrong, I still very much into voyeurism. I have kinks. We've talked about this on a prior episode. I'm okay with voyeurism, and I'm down for it, but ultimately I can't do that and then still be taken serious professionally. Unless I change my podcast into something like that, which we will be having some saucy episodes this year, this season. So look forward to that. I am going to get Zeb in on that and a few other people that I know who is in the kink industry. Hopefully Malice might be able to come and talk to us about some role play. But ultimately we are going to be talking about the kink community in a few episodes this season, which I'm going to sit down and talk to the people I want in that episode for that. We have a lot of people in this generation who are trying to heal, so try to help find sources. I will be posting links to different things. There's BetterHelp. There's Black Girl Therapy if you want to get somebody who is a POC therapist. There is a lot of different resources out there if you want to go seek therapy and want to change and break generational curses. Sometimes people don't realize, especially with POCs, that we are so prideful, we don't know how to ask for help, and we don't want to seek help because we are conditioned to believe we don't need help. And when you are offered help or given help, you get you push those people away. So here's those things where I have to state this a lot. Pride is our worst end. We lose more people because of pride than anything. And there's nothing wrong with being selfish, but then when there's people legitimately going to bat for you and want to help you, there's only so much we can really do. And the thing is, there's only so much we can do as a culture, as a unity, as millennials, is if people are offering help, take the help. Because people will stop offering help, because then when you really do need help and you keep declining help, people will stop wanting to help you because they have offered already, and then you basically like, now I really need help. Now these people don't want to help you because your pride got in the way. That's why I don't want to be masculine anymore. That's why I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to be strong anymore. I'm going to start asking for help. I am a delicate fucking flower, and I have to accept that's what the fuck I am. But ultimately, there's resources out there. There's different routes out there. You don't have to go with what you think or what you believe. And sometimes getting that guidance is good. Sometimes there is a difference between therapy and guidance counselors. Guidance counselors are out there. They essentially are low-grade therapists that can actually help guide you, whether it's in finances, whether it's in, you know, just figuring out if the job that you're at is the best fit for you, whether or not you really do need to go to therapy. There is different levels to therapy that people fail to realize. They just think, oh, I need to go to a psychiatrist. There is difference between therapy, psychiatrist, and guidance. Sometimes just finding a guidance counselor can help you just get a bias insight on things in life. And we are so bent on following the words of our celebrities and our false idols that sometimes they are trying to tell you things because they're trying to help better you. And they realize that sometimes listening to them is better than listening to your friends, listening to your family. Again, more people in our generation are more likely to listen to our idols and follow our idols than listen to their friends, families, or girls, or husbands, or anything. And sometimes you do need to take that advice. Sometimes you do need to take that guidance because these people are legitimately caring for you. And I can honestly tell you there was a moment in my life where I wouldn't take guidance from nobody because I thought everybody was against me. But then I realized that I was pushing away even those people who legitimately wanted the best interest in mind to make me a better person. And Nikki will tell you, me and her had a falling out about that because I felt like she was trying to guide me the wrong way. And I had to take a moment and realize that she actually wanted to see the best for me. Her mom came to me and said that shit. Like, she legitimately cares about you. She wants you to be on your best. And that's the reason why she's still in my life now. But I look at it this way. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to ask for help. There's nothing wrong for asking for help. It doesn't make you weaker. It doesn't make you weak to balance logic with emotions and to feel the feelings that you're feeling. There's nothing wrong with that. Cry about it if you gotta cry about it, but keep moving. Get up. Keep moving. Don't stay stagnant. Don't sit here and get conditioned to believe that this is what you needed to do. Ultimately, self-love is the best love. You can always seek love from other people. Self-love is the best love, and self-care is the best care. But ultimately, if you're hurt, don't hurt other people. Coping with certain things is going to, in a healthy coping mechanisms, not bad coping mechanisms, but healthy coping mechanisms. Take a break if you need to take a break. Don't overgas yourself. Don't burn yourself out. But just, it doesn't matter how you get there or how long it takes you to get there. Just don't stop going, but take rest when you need to take rest. And if you need help, ask for help. There's people in your corner, and there's a lot of people out in the world who feel like they don't have people in their corner. Or only people that can be there for me is me because I'm there for everyone else. So take a moment and just appreciate the people in your lives and appreciate the people that's there, because you never know what their demons that they're battling, because they might be battling their own demons just like you're battling yours. So love the people in your life that love you now. Stop being angry all the time. I was lit. I will tell you, and Nikki will tell you too, I was angry. When she met me, I was angry. My ex-boyfriend, Kyle, will tell you, I was an angry person until I was about 22 years old. I had nothing but anger in my heart. No love, just straight anger. I pushed everyone away, and that's the reason why most of my suicidal tendencies was during that time. So I was a very angry person. I was very prideful. I'm still kind of prideful, but I'm getting out of that habit, and I realize that I have to change my own cycle. I have to. I have to be a better person and a different person than who the fuck I was. And I'm a lot better as a person today than I was 4 years ago. And I can definitely say that. And I've seen it in my podcast to now. So as a person, again, who's bipolar with anxiety, and I'm not medicated, I'm going to let y'all know that I'm not medicated because I took myself off of medication because antidepressants is the worst thing. It's not something you want to stay on for the rest of your life. It's the worst. Withdrawals are shit. It literally looked like I was on drugs at one point. And a person who suffers with suicidal thoughts versus suicidal, you know, tendencies, as a person who suffers with suicidal thoughts, I can tell you when we get tired, we get tired. And baby, I'm tired. But the difference between what I'm going through versus somebody who has suicidal tendencies, those are the people you have to check on. Those are the people who are smiling all the time. Those are the people who are constantly bubbly. Those are the people who are not going to show the signs of doing that. And if you feel as though that you can't reach out to anybody, there is the suicide hotline. Please reach out to that line as well. Or reach. You can even text somebody now. I want to see my babies be successful, my heathens be successful. I want to see you guys thrive and be there and just know that I still have a safe space for people to come. And even if I can't personally help you, there's people on my team that are willing to be a safe space for you that will help guide you and be that guidance and voice and reason for you. And that's what I want to do. That's why I'm going to school to be a therapist, because I want to create a community where you can actually come and talk to somebody who's going to help guide you in the right direction. And my mods are people who will tell you exactly what you need to do to be a better person and help you. And because we've been there, we've at one point in time have been there where we have battled our own demons and dealt with our own thoughts and dealt with our own anxiety and depression. And even then, we can even help you find the resources to find help. Even if you don't want to come to us personally, you can go to other websites or you can go to actual professionals and we will help you find that. My thing is, I want to see us all successful. I want to see everybody successful, because at the end of the time, if I'm successful, you're going to be successful. If I'm eating, you're going to be eating. If I got to play, you got to play. And that's what I want for you guys. And that's why I created this podcast, because I know as a Black woman, I have dealt with depression, I've dealt with anxiety, I've dealt with abuse, I've dealt with molestation, I've dealt with suicidal thoughts, I've dealt with suicidal tendencies, and I'm still having to be a strong woman and my masculinity being here and then being told that I need to soften up or I need to open up and be more emotional. And then I've been through it. So if I've gone through it, someone else has gone through it, and I want to help others. And that's what I want. And that's why I created this. Just like there's other podcasts out there, like the Strong Friend Check-In, that like there's literally so many other podcasts out there with beautiful Black people, beautiful Black minds that are trying to be and help and break these stigmas that we have created, that our families have created for us. So I will be putting a link in my Twitter at some point in time for other podcasts you guys should check out. But if somebody is legitimately there trying to help you and want to help you, not everybody has ill intent. They want to be there for you. They want to support you. They want to see you be a better person. And I want to remind every single one of you that I am very proud of you. I'm happy you are still here on this earth today. Whatever demons and whatever battles you are battling, you do not have to battle them bitches alone. You need me to come get a sword and a shield, I will come help. You don't have to do this by yourself, because we are not alone. There is people out there who are willing and able to help you. There is a community of people out there who want to see us survive, who wants to see us thrive, who want to see us be better and help us break those generational curses. Even Kendrick Lamar, who is a celebrity, literally created an album to talk about how he broke generational curses, not for just himself, but the people that he loved, including his kids. And if a celebrity is telling you that he can do it, and he's not that much older than me, then that means that you can do it too. There is a community of people out there who wants to see us be better. And they want to point out the ugliness in the world so we can be better and show that this is not okay. You don't have to keep wearing that mask, baby girl. You ain't got to keep wearing that mask, baby girl, man. You don't have to keep being prideful. You don't have to sit here and be like, oh, I can't cry because I'm a man, that I can't feel because of that. Please do. I want you to feel safe enough to feel vulnerable and be able to be vulnerable in a safe, comfortable space. There is people out there and resources, and I want to see you guys be successful. That does not make you weak, men. If you feel feelings, it actually makes you very fucking strong. That being said, I'm going to end it with that note. I'm going to end it with, there's a community out there for you. There's people out there that want to see you be successful. They want to see you thrive. They want to see you keep living. I'm proud of you. I see you. And I want you to be successful, babies. I do. I really do. From the deepest part of my heart and soul, I want to see you thrive. It is okay to not be okay. Self-love is the best love. Self-care is the best care. And remember that I have socials for you guys to be there, and I will create a new link for my Discord for you guys to join and have a safe community that you guys can come and talk and be around a community of people who care about you and mental health and want to see you be just as successful. And if you don't want to talk to us, we will help find you the resources. I want you guys to enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you so much for tuning in. For those who did tune in, for those who followed, for all those people who are gifted subs, welcome to my favorite part of my life, which is my podcast, my baby. From your friendly neighborhood witch, with love, care, I will see you guys later. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for tuning in.